Did you know 36% of American adults have more credit card debt than they do emergency savings? And that was back in 2023. And I'm sure, I'm confident, much higher now percentage with what's been going on in the economy. Listen, we're struggling in the economy. You all know that with inflation. God love you. I know it's difficult. Now more than ever, we need to follow these intentional principles when it comes to our money to honor God. And we got some callers coming in. We're going to talk to here, hear their stories about money. We'd love to have you join in on your story on our storyline at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 as we talk about the power of being intentional, making a decision and doing one thing every week, every month when it comes to money to be intentional. Maybe every day. That's the question. Do you know how much money you have in your pocket? Do you know how much money you spent yesterday? Do you know how much you spent yesterday and where it went? The last week? How about the last month? How about the last year? And, you know, businesses that thrive and survive know where the money's coming and where it's going. And we should be no less concerned when it comes to our own marriages and families. So let's get going. 888-888-1717 to our comment line. Bill is in Michigan. Hi, Bill. How are you doing today? Hello, Bill. Are you there?
Oh, no, this is Jonathan.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jonathan. You moved to line one on my screen here. Sorry about that. Go right ahead. What have you learned?
Hey, basically, I've learned with money, if you don't have the need to spend it, then you don't need it.
Yeah, that's true. Now, did you learn this the hard way?
I did. I went through a Chapter 7 bankruptcy about 4 years ago.
How did you get there? Tell us the process, the decisions you were making that you look back and say, whoa. Shouldn't have done that.
Basically, with my job, I was working part-time a lot of the times, and just to get by, I was putting things on credit that I needed, you know, groceries, gas, car repair, stuff like that. And one day I look at it like, well, this amount of money in the hole with credit cards, what do I do? And somebody said, if you declare bankruptcy, it'll wipe it clean. And it did.
How deep in debt did you get?
I was about $25,000 in the hole with credit cards.
So what's different now for you?
Hey, basically, I just have one credit card, I use it, and I pay it off in full no matter what.
So it was a decision that you made?
Basically, I mean...
Did your income go up? Did you get more money?
Actually, it did. It did big time, believe it or not, because here in New Mexico, the wages had to go up just to get people, just to get employees. Mm-hmm.
So you're making more, but you're being intentional in what you spend, not to spend something you don't need and something you didn't need.
Like I told my family, if it's not a need and it's a want, then basically the need comes first.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jonathan. Sorry you had to go down that trail, but listen, for those of you listening, get ahead of the game. Don't run up $25,000 in debt at 20% interest or whatever it is that you get charged with credit cards today. Do the math. And then, by the way, we're back to sixth grade math, so it's not complicated to do the math. We all should be able to handle that to see that there's a better way to go. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. You can join our storyline at 888-888-1717. Karen, what's your story about money?
My husband and I looked at our huge home with our five children gone and decided we had way too much stuff and, you know, we could really use to downsize. And so what we decided to do was target items that we no longer used infrequently, had duplicates of, whatever, to get rid of. And we put them online on the garage sale sites, you know, Craigslist, things like that, and started selling things and put all the money in an account. And then what we did was we took that money and bought a car with it.
Oh.
And so we didn't have to finance it.
Good.
And then what we're doing now intentionally for the future is we're taking what we would have had to pay for a car payment and paying it to ourselves into an account for our future car.
There you go.
and putting that away. And then when we have the money for a new car or need a car, the money will be there, and we won't have to have paid the interest that everybody else is hit with in buying a vehicle.
That's it, man. Hey, listen, and you do that kind of thing intentionally over an extended period of time, and it really works. Now, what are you doing with the empty spaces in your house from all the stuff you sold?
Well, we still have a lot of stuff to get rid of, I'll admit. 32 years of marriage, you collect a lot of stuff. So we still have some stuff to get rid of, but we're also hoping that in the next 2 years we can move closer to my daughter and two of our grandchildren in Traverse City and downsize to a smaller house at that time.
And that ain't a bad place to move to. Traverse City is a nice place.
Oh, it's beautiful. And being close to an 8 and 10-year-old grandsons will be, you know, a major blessing. And hopefully I can influence them to have a closer walk with Christ by being closer.
Good for you. Well, you're making decisions, yeah. Karen, and the decisions sometimes are right in front of us, like decluttering, downsizing, turning to assets that are, you know, that we have in your case, maybe a lot of stuff you're not using. You turned it to liquid, took that liquidity, that cash, and bought a car so you don't have to make payments. And now taking that money you put into car payments to set aside for a future vehicle. I mean, life is built on these kinds of intentional decisions, one after another. It's a little bit over an extended period of time. Anything in life is a little bit over an extended period of time. Like I've said in past programs, you eat less than you burn in a day, or spend less than you earn in a day. And you do that over an extended period of time, and not only do you lose weight, maybe get healthier, but certainly move toward getting out of debt. And that's what, you know, that's what you're doing. So,
well, it works. Just even the little things, you'd be amazed at how much those $10, $15, $20, $50 items add up really quickly.
Oh, boy.
And get you ahead, so you're not paying that credit card debt, interest and things like that. So, you know, a little bit goes a long way. It's your intentional message that got to us and helped us, you know, dig out of the hole and now get ahead.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Hi, Dr. Andy. This is Russell, and I was just listening to your program about the problems with 17-year-olds, and I've got to thank you for bringing that program to us. It's a blessing because we have three teenagers, and Randy, we are blessed. Because of the program, Randy, I am making an additional contribution or donation of $100 this month. And I challenge, and I would like to see everybody who has children that are a blessing to them do the same. Have a blessed day, and thank you.
Hey, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Your support's making a difference. It's a lot of folks doing a little bit over an extended period of time that allows this message to get out through our podcast, radio broadcast, our events, publications, and all that we do here and literally around the world through this message of living an intentional life in Christ. Here's our mission statement: helping you experience life as God intended. That's simply what we do. And you know what? I've been around a long time, and I found that when I choose to make a decision that I understand would be more pleasing and glory-filling for God, He gets the glory and I get the benefit. I don't think there's a downside. I've never heard of a downside of wanting to live our lives in a way that will please Christ, and that's biblical. There's a lot of good things that can come when we do that, because he's a good daddy, and he loves us. Today, we're talking about one area that he's concerned about, and that's money. You know, the Bible has more to say about stuff and money than any other single topic like heaven or hell, frankly, because God knows in his wisdom that this can be a
stumbling block, a point of real problem in relationships. And so we're here to just remind us, thinking about this topic of dealing with money. What have you learned? Join us on our storyline, 888-888-1717.
Hi, this is Rose from Georgia, and I'm calling just to say that I am living an intentional life by not worrying about my finances as much as I used to. I have went from a good paying job to no paying job. I got laid off, and I am a wife and a mother of twins. I have learned to trust God more and more in this area of finances. And when the time comes that I start to get maybe a little bit anxious in me, I actually refer back to the Word of God, which says that He will never leave me nor forsake me. And His promises are that He will meet all of my needs. And one day as I sat at the table about to get anxious, the Lord spoke to me and He said, "People look to the banks and they look to other man-made ideas, but I have all the resources. That's all I need." God bless you all. Thank you.
That's good. Listen, you know, it says in Proverbs 22 that a good name is more to be desired than wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all. That'll preach. Those on the street today that are homeless, that we pass, and those who are living in the million-dollar homes were made by the same God of creation. And He loves us. And we have an opportunity to love each other, don't we? And use resources to make a difference in the lives of people. Talking money today, let's go next to Taylor in Arizona. Money and marriage. Taylor, go right ahead.
Well, it's kind of, I was mentioning to whoever I talked to, I think it was Steven, that it's more of a trust thing that I've learned to do with finances.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of a new Christian as of the summer of my freshman year of college. This year's my senior year, so it's
you.
Just under 3 years for me. And I did a 90-day challenge through my church up in Flagstaff where I go to college. And it was a really cool experience because it was basically just teaching us how to really trust God with our finances. And not just tithing, but doing things for good and giving to others when you know you're not sure how you're going to do, and just giving that all to God. And after the challenge ended, it was a really great way to realize that God really does provide for me. So since then, I've just made it a habit to start, you know, obeying that command of tithing and doing that every time I get a paycheck, even when I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to be okay, because I know that God will provide for me. So
that's
it's kind of simple, but it's new.
Well, good for you, Taylor. Now, you're graduating from Flagstaff, so you're going to NAU,
mm-hmm.
Northern Arizona University. And what are you graduating in? What's your degree?
I'm graduating in early childhood and elementary education and a math minor, so I'm going to have a fifth year up there next year. But I'm actually really excited because I'll be able to be in this leadership position with my church group up there called Chi Alpha. And if any of them are listening, then that's kind of cool. But,
that's good.
I'm very excited because I've kind of grown a lot in my faith since I started, and I'm really excited to see what God does in that year for me before I graduate. So,
that's fantastic. What got you started spiritually? I mean, what led you to coming to Christ?
I mean, it is kind of a long story, but the gist of it was just the fact that, and I apologize, my voice is gone. I'm kind of sick. I don't normally sound like this. But basically, I had an experience at the end of my high school time where I really did feel like I felt God's presence. It was, like, really random. I always grew up agnostic and didn't really believe in a specific God, and no one in my family goes to church and everything. And then over time, after that experience initially happened, I kind of forgot about it and then went back to my usual ways. And after about a year of, well, not even a year, about 7 months of a very bad relationship, I kind of got into this really broken place where God could come in and heal me. And that's where I really discovered that it was real. Like, all this stuff that I kept hearing about Jesus and everything like that was actually a legitimate thing. And the cool part about my testimony, and I'm sorry, I'll try to be quick, is that I really was, like, concerned about believing in Jesus. Like, I believed in God, but I couldn't get the Jesus part. And so I was, like, writing in this journal, trying to, like, use that as a prayer. mechanism at the time because I was all awkward about praying. You know, if you don't grow up in that, it's kind of weird. And I was asking God if he could show me, like, a sign or something, you know, to really just prove to me that Jesus was the real deal within that week. And legitimately, like, within that week, I was at Arby's working a shift, and that lady came in to order her sandwich and handed me something that said, "In Search of Truth," and it was this perfect sign from God, like, representation of, like, the reason why Jesus exists, and it was, like, this little story about someone who was kind of in the same boat that I was, so it was really cool.
Wow, that's amazing. Taylor, thank you, and I hope you get feeling better, and also that you have a great year of school as you continue your studies. And I'm always encouraged when I get a chance to talk to a young person, college or a young adult, and hear their faith story and their growth. It gives me hope for our country, gives me hope for the future to see young people coming to Christ. That's powerful. Thank you. All right, Bill, you're in Michigan. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, sir. And I want to say that you have really good people handling your phones. I really like that guy I was talking to.
Oh, did he pay you to say that or what?
No, but he could send it. He could send it via my phone number or something like that.
Yeah, listen, Stephen has been a faithful part of my team for years. Yeah, he loves the Lord. He's got a pastor's heart, great dad, great husband, and great support to the team here. And when he gets on the phone, he loves on you guys. So thank you for sharing that. All right, Money, what have you learned?
Oh, my wife and I, when we first got married, we had a lot of challenges that we were facing. Like, it was our second marriages, and our first marriage was really abusive. My first wife died of cancer, and we were marrying really a lot later at life. She has a 32-year-old autistic son. Anyway, but one of our big things was money, and I was pretty sure I told her that I had student loans. But she didn't, I guess, it just didn't hit her or whatever. And then one day she kind of woke up to it. But anyway, so she was really, you know, upset about that. And then I also had my home, and I was not really excited about selling my home, to be honest. But so anyway, in about a year and a half after we got married, and I'm sure it's probably because of my wife's prayers, the Lord had my student loans forgiven, and then I sold my house. And it's funny what a difference, you know, like not having, I guess, unnecessary possessions made, and the money thing, you know, we went from having tight money to being able to basically be generous at will.
And so did you sell the house and rent? Is that what you did?
Actually, we tried to rent it, and it turned out horrible, and then I turned around and sold it.
But did you downsize, or did you go into a rental yourself?
Oh, we pretty much downsized. We had three houses between us. She sold hers, and I ended up selling mine. But her son, her autistic son, was like the last in line of his father's family, and he inherited the family fortune. And so we live in a beautiful house on a lake in northern Michigan, and that's what he inherited from his father. And we, you know, we'll always live with him because he'll never be able to live unsupervised. But the thing that kind of amazed me was, like, in a year and a half, I went from about $210,000, $215,000, $220,000 in debt to $0 in debt in about a year and a half.
Wow.
And that's God. You know what I mean?
Well, and you're on the same page. Listen, money problems is stress. I remember talking to my dad near the end of his life, and I don't know how we got on the topic. We were talking about regrets and things, and he said to me, it's something I didn't know. It must have been early in their marriage before I came along. I was the baby of the family. He said, "Your mom and I got into a financial problem. I don't know what it was. At some point," and he said, I realized when we got through that process, paying off that debt or whatever it was, I never wanted to go there again. He said it was painful. And so intentionally, they made some decisions in how they chose to live. And it made a difference in their life. They were never wealthy, but they also were never under that kind of stress because they made some decisions. Life is too short. Now, I know some of you are in the middle of the mess right now, middle of the stress today. You can do this with God's help. Make some decisions, get some help, focus on the 10-10-80, set aside some money, get some emergency fund, look at how you're using your funds, what's going in, what's coming out, put it down on paper so you can see it, and be very careful when you use credit cards, because boy, that can get you into trouble, and you may not be in a position where you should be able to do that at all. Work with cash, put it in an envelope, go the old-fashioned way, whatever. But there are things that you can do to be intentional. Great resources. We just focus on 10-10-80, tithing, saving, and learning to live on that 80%. And if you do that over an extended period of time, it'll make a huge difference. We'll be back. We're going to be going to some more callers. Larry wants to share with us about money. And boy, a huge family problem as a result of it. We'll get to that in just a few minutes.
We've all had those situations in life where we can either run to God or away from Him. In these defining moments, asking the right questions and prayerfully making decisions can change our lives and the lives of people around us. In Dr. Randy's message, Defining Moments, you'll hear how Nehemiah and Jonah responded to God in dramatically different ways. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt. We got a lot of friends who are doing that. When you pick up the phone or you go online and say, hey, I want to be a part of Intentional Living, we'll give you the access to the to that site. But even more important, I think, beyond that, is you're making a difference in someone's life who needs today to know Jesus Christ. And you're making a difference. Thank you. Go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. All right, Larry, looks like you got, quite a journey you guys have been on there. Talk to us about how money and your family, what's been going on?
A quick story. My family, we had a farm back in the day. I'm 70, so you can kind of think, you know, back then there wasn't sprays or any of the things to make it easy yet, except tractors. So you did a lot of hoeing, baling, and all that all the time. And my dad was kind of a dictatorial guy. He'd yell all the time about this needs to get done, that needs to get done. And I'm over 4 years older than my brother, and my sister's a year apart from him. So, you know, I was the oldest guy that seemed to do all the work. So over the years, you know, we think that dad's got the farm, you know, he's doing normal things, and we always thought there was something weird going on because he'd be talking to these people on the phone on occasion when we'd be there. And then when my mother died here a few years ago, she was in her 80s and he's a little older, we found out, Dad, your finances, what's going on here? She was kind of paying bills and that was about it. And we find all these huge charge cards that were like $18,000, $20,000. We found big mortgages and all kinds of stuff. And apparently he'd been doing Ponzi schemes with these oil rigs for years. Put a lot of pressure on all of us because, you know, my brother and me actually were thought at one time, well, one of us could buy the farm, you know, from him if he sold it. No, he sold it out from under us when we didn't even know about it to somebody we didn't know, and we don't know where the money went because there wasn't any of it there.
So it's
been a crazy life, and it causes issues between even my brother and me sometimes. We're a little different in age and all that, you know, but the one thing, I guess, because you always say one thing, is that all three of us, we're all believers, have decided over the years is that when all said and done, we will always try to communicate well. And my dad, of course, he's 98 and still somewhat healthy for 98. He just had to go on assisted living this year. So we're like laughing, like, I think he's going to live longer than all of us and torment us forever. but anyways, because he still brings stuff up, you know, it's just how he is. But the one thing is we get together, we talk about things, we always do, we're always unanimous on things that we had to do when we had to have the auction right away because he couldn't pay his bills. I mean, he had more going out than he had coming in once mom died.
So you guys had to get together and solve all his problems.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, occasionally my brother and me disagree because we're very different people, but we always try to come back together and move forward.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. And you seem to have a great attitude with this. You know, this is the kind of thing, Larry, as you know, that can not only create tension in a family, it can split a family. And it's a reminder when it comes to stuff, parents, grandparents, make sure you have an estate plan, you put things together so you don't leave a mess for the family. All right, before we run out of time, let's go to Melissa. What's your story, Melissa?
We're in our 11th year of marriage, and in the beginning it was a struggle. We were blessed with income, so it wasn't about meeting the means. It was I was the saver head, and he was the, if I have it, I should use it because I can't take it with me head. And we battled because I wanted to save, and he wanted the things that he wanted. But I'm proud to say today there is no strife in our life because of finances.
Well, how did you resolve that? You were the saver head, he's the spender head, and you were knocking heads.
Exactly. A lot of people disagree with two bank accounts, but we met active duty military, so we had a lot of TDYs and deployments. And in our marriage, we kept our separate bank accounts. But each one had a responsibility so that nobody was trying to write all the bills, because we never knew who was going to have to be on the road away from home next. And so we both set up budgets without declaring it a budget, because he thought budgets were very, something of a restraint and hard to live with. But so we didn't call it that. It's just these were the things that came into the house and he paid for, and then there were the things that came into the home and I paid for. I'm blessed with retirement, so the income window has changed, and he had no problem in picking up extra pieces. But it allowed me to save more, and then when there's something that we need, he'll come to me and say, can we afford it? And when I tell him no, he accepts it. And then it motivates him to save out of his budget, if you will. And then we come together. He doesn't know how much I'm saving. And we come together and say, can we afford it? And then at that time, normally we can. Because we've both, it's something that you're both passionate about. You both, it's a common goal you both want. And so nobody feels restricted, but more empowered, that you can positively impact your, whether it be the family vacation or maintenance that's needing to be done, or, you know, just whatever it is, we're able to do it together.
Yeah, and that's the key, Melissa. You know, this idea of having multiple accounts, we generally advise against that, as you said, because there's a lack of communication and agreement. Yeah, one person spending out of that account and that person spending out of the other account. And the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And the scripture says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? You just simply said, hey, you put money in one account and I'll put money in another account, but we're coming together. You said that multiple times. And we're communicating, making a difference. Which pot it comes out, as long as you agree, it's coming out of the pot. That's the key. Got to run. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living. Thanks for your prayers and support. Thank you, Andrew, for your help. Appreciate it. And Stephen and the rest of the team here at the Intentional Living Center. I'm Dr. Randy. We'll be back next time with more Intentional Living right here from our center, part of the Intentional Life Media.